Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
All right, so talk to us about what's happening out there right now. What reports are you getting?
It's really fun. People like to share their observations with me, and I'm sure each other, which is great. Just seems to kind of build the excitement. And in my case, since I'm way northeast at home, it gives me the sense of what's coming. Just like I was in the cities a couple weeks ago now, and it was fun to see, oh, there were still lots of yellow rump warblers and palm warblers and things. So that was an explanation for why I hadn't seen them at home yet. You get that sense of things really moving.
The wave is coming.
The wave is coming, slowly but surely. For some plants, the blooming season is already over, which is an indication that spring has been moving along, despite what it may feel like some days. The alder catkins are all over the place now on the ground. That's over. I imagine those hazel catkins will be not too far behind. But on the other end, lots of new things coming into bloom, of course. So one of those would be the spring beauties, which in all the warm spots, so all those lake-facing slopes up in the maples or even warm spots, you know, further inland where they live, they're up. They aren't quite blooming at my place. We're definitely a cold spot. Bloodroots, another plant that would be blooming in those same kinds of environments and very showy individually, whereas the spring beauties are more carpets of little flowers with that incredible, beautiful fragrance to my nose. So I always look forward to when they happen around our place because, oh my gosh, on a warm day, it's not super windy. It's so lovely to just go out and breathe it in.
Take it all in.
Yeah. There's a lot of aspens now, very widespread bloom of aspens. And this is a great time of year to get up on one of the overlooks, look out, and to pick out the individual clones of aspens because they're in different timings of when they bloom and when their leaves come out. They're all slightly different. So you'll see some where the blooms are maybe just beginning. Others, they're clearly, you know, they look like little fluffy clouds because of all those feathery blossoms that are up there. And as the leaves come out, same deal. Those green crowns will become apparent in one individual or one clone at one point in time, and then it'll be later before something right next to it.
So all the little clones do that stuff together.
Yeah, so a clone means that you are really identical to the rest of your clone, right? You all arose from the same root system. Your genes are all identical. So you're all in the same timing. You're all, you know, responding in the same way. There are some very large clones in Cook County, but we also have smaller ones, so not very many trees involved. We also have aspens that are directly from a seed. They do their thing alone. They may be timed similar to something around them, but you'll see individual trees that just don't seem to be connected. They're on a slightly different program because they're not the same as those around them.
They're an individual.
They are very much an individual. If something were to happen to that tree, it blows down, cut down, whatever, then it will produce a clone because its roots will sprout all kinds of new trees that are identical to it. And they'll all be on the program that the original tree was. So that's how clones become clones. But here in Minnesota, we still have aspens that grow right from a seed. And that's important because that provides genetic diversity for the population as a whole. So this is a great time to see that. Once the trees leaf out, then you can't really see any of that until fall when they start to change at different times. So it's fun to see the pattern across a big landscape area that you can see from an overlook. In that same group of trees, the balsam poplar, so a different species of poplar, they to me have one of the most beautiful fragrances from the buds. As the buds break and the leaves begin to emerge, if we get a warm, mild, some humidity in the air, still, if you're in a grove of those, oh, just transporting, I think. Another name for that is balm of Gilead. And I'm sure there was some medicinal property, but I just think of it as the fragrance.
Are they as numerous as the quaking aspen?
No, they are not. They're a very hardy species, so they live very far north too, but they're not as numerous, but they're common. They just aren't as common. Fiddleheads, a lot of fern. Fiddleheads in the warm spots, again, are really up and obvious. So that's good. Another species that's blooming, at least down in moist, warm spots, would be sweet coltsfoot. So this is our earliest blooming composite. So it's the first. Most of our composites are all mid to late summer, you know, like asters and daisies. This one comes really early. It's one of our earliest blooming plants. So that's out there to see. I haven't seen any snakes yet. The peepers finally started really singing big time around our place. I have not heard any chorus frogs around our place or wood frogs, but we don't typically hear them right by our house. Chorus frogs we do hear, but there's quite a few fewer, so they can be completely overwhelmed by the peepers. I always think when I'm listening, oh my gosh, how do they stand it? I have to get kind of back off or plug my ears because it's so loud. But it turns out that peepers space themselves out in those places where they're all chorusing together. They space themselves such that the volume of their calling neighbors is outside their auditory range. So they might hear other peepers, but only those that are quite at some distance away. Wow. So their experience of it is really different from ours. Insect-wise, boy, I'm still wondering about those morning cloaks and the tortoiseshells. Those earliest butterflies, just have not seen very many. There haven't been a lot of great butterfly flying days, so that may be part of it, but be interested to watch through the rest of this early part of the spring and spring to see, you know, if eventually there is more of an emergence or if it was a particularly poor year for reproduction last year or survival over the winter. I don't know which it would be, but... So other birds, rose-breasted grosbeaks have arrived, both the males and females. And at our place, they showed up within a day of each other, which is not typical. Usually there's kind of a gap, males first and then the females come. Various warblers showing up finally at our place anyway, the yellow rump warbler, the common yellow throat. I've heard reports of black and white warblers. I've heard reports of white-crowned sparrows. There have been various reports coming through, and so we'll continue to see those build, and other people are probably seeing things that I haven't seen yet or heard about yet. So that's happening. One bird that showed up most recently in the wetlands around our place is the American bittern.
Oh, I love them.
Do you?
I do.
What do you love about them?
What goofballs.
Oh,
I mean, my dad used to call them slough humpers.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
And when we heard one, this was years ago, we were walking and came upon him in the ditch where all these reeds were, just stuck his head straight up, and he thinks he's invisible because his long bill is poking up, and there he was, just stock still. And it was like, I can see you. Not only that, I heard you just a little bit ago, so I know where you are.
Well, you want to listen to my imitation?
I do. I would love that.
Okay. So as you say, when they think they might be seen or they want to try to disappear, then they get that pose that you described. And, you know, in a typical habitat, they disappear quite nicely. They very well camouflage. But if you ever have the chance to quietly get close to one, then it not know that you're there and can actually watch them do their display. So they have not only that amazing call that the slough humper name comes from, but when they're doing that call, they have a really classy display that they do by putting their wings out, and this big ruff of white feathers comes off behind the shoulder of each wing. And so it's quite remarkable, and their heads are doing a lot of bowing and raising and lowering. So anyway, here's my attempt, and okay, you can judge it because you've heard this
I have
before. Okay.
That's very good. That is very good.
Well, I've been practicing. Not with the bittern, however.
Oh.
Anyway, so fun stuff to be checking out there.
Chell Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for talking to us about your current observations.
Always a pleasure.